Well, I guess we're just going to go ahead and get started. You can go ahead and put it back up there. Here's the deal. So for me and for the youth staff, the past couple weeks have been incredibly hilariously funny for us to sort of watch. You guys do know that we're on social media, right? Like, we have Twitters and Instagrams and Facebooks and that. So we see this stuff. And a lot of times we think it's just absolutely hilarious. So if you don't know what you're seeing right now, let me explain it real quick. Because it's very funny to us, and hopefully it'll be sort of funny to you guys as we go through it. Most schools, when they have like homecoming week, it's like a spirit week too. It's like sort of all wrapped up in one, and they get to do different things, and a lot of different days, they have different dress-up days at their school. So if your high school this year had some kind of dress-up day at any point for homecoming or spirit day or anything else, just raise your hand. I just want to see. Not if you dressed up, just if your school did. All right, so most of us, okay? So We get the benefit, all right? We don't have to be in the school and actually dressed up, but we get to sort of stand back and sort of watch what's going on. And to us, it's just hilariously funny. You'll recognize some of those up there, but that is Macy McCoy. And she, go back to that one, sorry, right there. Successful day as Miley Cyrus. So I don't know how successful of a day you can have as Miley Cyrus, but she had a successful day as Miley Cyrus and her dress-up day. There we have Emily's sedate character day with Robin Hood, Rapunzel, and a minion. Emily is the cow, encouraging you to eat more chicken and less cows. So she dressed up and did a great job there. Going to the next one for me. There we have Anne-Marie Hauser, went to school as Jesus. So we have students going as Miley Cyrus and as Jesus. We've got the whole sort of thing covered there. I think that she did a great job and probably sparked. Go back to that last one. You saw it. All right. Go on to the next one for me. So, for those of y'all that don't know, that's Elizabeth Lyerly as Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter. If you don't know who he is or if you never got a chance to see him on TV, you missed out. The young man, I think, on the right is Jeff Cook. And if you don't know, stand up, Jeff. Take a bow. That's Jeffrey. He looks a little bit different tonight than he did at school the other day. So let me tell you about Jeff real quick. Jeff's mom actually works in our office, and I don't know how much of this is true or not. I'm pretty sure that this is right, that you left the house that day not looking like that because you didn't want your parents, especially your dad, to see that. And I think that some girls do that too sometimes. But I saw that picture and took it in. I went outside my office to Nancy Cook, Jeff's mom, and said, "What in the world is this?" And she just hung her head and started dying, laughing hysterically. So, never seen anything like that. I think it's hilarious, and props to you for doing that. I think that's Safari Day, right?
Yeah, I wasn't the only one who did it.
He wasn't the only one. There were several others, but see, and there's another one right there on Safari Day. So, a couple more of our students. Then we've got Captain America and the Statue of Liberty, and then I think, Elizabeth, is that you or did you just post that? That's you? Okay, good. So here's the deal. Hilarious costumes. Awesome. Props to you guys for doing it. It was very, very cool. If you didn't get a chance to dress up at your school at any point this year, guess what? You get a chance to dress up tomorrow if you choose to put on a costume, or this past Sunday night, the trunk or treat up at the church, a lot of people have put on costumes. My son tomorrow will be Thomas the Train, and I will be the guy in the top hat on Thomas the Train. So we're dressing up, okay? I'm going to be pretending to be something that I am not, all right? Pretending to be something that I'm not tomorrow night. A lot of you guys at school this week or, you know, one of your homecoming weeks, whatever, you guys were pretending to be something that you weren't. Jeff, you were not a cheetah. Elizabeth, you are not a horse, and Macy, you are not Miley Cyrus. I'm sorry, okay? You guys were pretending to be something that you're not, all right? So listen to this. This is important. Everybody look up here. Sometimes this happens on a much deeper level. All right, we're going to get personal for a second. Sometimes this happens on a much deeper level than Halloween, or a much deeper level than it's homecoming week, so I'm going to put on a funny costume and go to school and show everybody, you know, that I'm a cheater, that I'm whatever. Sometimes this happens on a deeper level. Sometimes when we go to school, we put on a costume. We try to show people something that we're not. We try to make people think something about us that really isn't true. We try to make them think that we act a certain way, or that we behave a certain way, or that we live a certain way when in fact we don't. Sometimes when we come to church, all right, we put on a costume, okay? We put on a face, we put on an act, and we try to let people see or think something about us that just might not be true, okay? So these dress-up days aren't the only times that that happens. Some of us live our life like that. Some of us every day are trying to get people to think things about us that might not be true for any number of reasons, all right? Could be because we're just insecure about who we really are. It could be because we're unhappy with who we really are. It could be because we know that we're doing things or we're living a lifestyle that would not be pleasing to those around us, and so we try to alter it in their presence, whether you try to alter it and make yourself look better or like you are more full of integrity than you really are at church, or when you're at school, the other direction, like you're not a goody two-shoes and you want people to think that you do things that you might not really do just because of how the people around you act, all right? So sometimes we put on a front, all right, in front of other people. When I was in high school, the word for that was poser. I don't know what the word for that is now, but that's what people would always say when somebody wasn't authentic, when somebody was faking who they really were, okay? It was pretty easy to see after a while, and you could sort of call them out on it, all right? So we do that from time to time. And sometimes, okay, it could be for any of those reasons, and sometimes it could be because we legitimately and genuinely are confused about who we are. Watch this video clip, and sort of help clear that up for us a little bit. I hear sound. There it is.
Who am I? I don't know.
All right, sometimes we just don't know who we are, all right? Sometimes we're confused, and if someone was to ask, who are you, you know, what are you about, what are you like, you just don't have any clue, you don't have any idea how to answer it. So I'm going to give you a chance. We're going to dive into Scripture, all right? And we're going to see what the Bible has to say about you, because the Bible says something very specific, Aiden, about who you are. Very specific, all right? There's no doubt, there's no ambiguity, there's no guessing, there's no confusion. We're going to specifically see who we are as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ tonight. But before we turn to the Scripture, I just want you to think for a second, all right? Don't talk to anyone around you. Just think for a second. If somebody was going to ask you the question, who are you, how would you answer it? All right, I'm going to give you a second to think about it. Who are you, and how would you answer? You're not a cheetah, Jeff. All right, if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians, all right? We're going to be in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you got your Bible, open it up. We're going to be looking at a couple different verses together, verses 16 through 21, and we're going to work through them like we've been doing the past couple of weeks, just sort of a verse at a time. And as we do it, we're going to pause and see what the Bible has to say to us and then sort of move on from there. But before we do it, all right, this piece of Scripture is packed into a really, really powerful chapter of the Bible. And so just to sort of let you see where we're getting into it, it was written by Paul, and we've talked about him a lot. But right before we get to this text, it's really cool. Paul's basically telling people his motive for ministry. He's telling people why he's writing this letter. He's telling people why he goes to these different churches. He's telling people why he preaches, why he shares the gospel, why he talks, why he exists. All right? He's giving his motivation. And it's saying, or he says, so that people can have a relationship with God. And then he goes on to say, listen, guys, Christ died for everybody. So as Christians, you need to be living your life in Him. So my motivation is Christ. That's why I'm doing it. If you're a Christian and you're reading this letter, if you're a Christian and you're hearing my voice, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that Christ died so that you can have a relationship with God. Now that you know that, make sure that you live your life for Him. That's where we're at, and that's where we head into this verse, and it's really cool going from there. This first verse, a lot of you probably have never heard before. The second verse, a lot of you guys have probably memorized. So verse 16 says this, all right? If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screens for you. It says, from now on, therefore, regard no one according to the flesh. We're going to pause there. I'm going to reread that sentence. It says, from now on, therefore, regard no one according to the flesh. Look at me. This is what that means. It says, when you think about somebody else, when you think about a person and you think, who are they, don't think about them according to worldly definitions. Don't think about them according to fleshly definitions. When you think about Austin Trammell, you don't say he's a football player, okay? When you think about Jeff Cook, you don't say he's a stand leader, okay? That's not a description that we use anymore, okay? A lot of times, A lot of times when we think about an individual, we describe them in worldly terms, whether they're good or they're bad. It's great to be a football player. It's great to be a stand leader. But Paul's saying when he writes that, when you think about an individual, don't define them that way. That does not make up who they are. That might be something they do, but that does not make up who they are. And listen to this. He says, we regard no one according to the flesh. When you guys read that verse and when you think about it, that's you too. So when you think about yourself, when you think about who you are, don't think about who you are based on how the world might define you. Okay, don't think about who you are based on how the world might define you. Don't think, man, I'm smart. Don't think, man, I'm stupid. Don't think, man, I'm messed up. Don't think, I've done this, I'm that. That's not how we're supposed to think about anybody, okay? The verses before it, Paul talks about how we can have a relationship with God through Jesus, and he's saying because of that, because you can have that, because you can experience that, don't define anyone else and don't define yourself according to the things and the definitions of this world. So many times people define themselves and they look at their own life and they allow themselves to be defined by their doubt, by their insecurities, by their failures, by the times they've messed up, by the labels that other people put on themselves. So listen to me. When we look at other people and when we look at ourselves, we're not to be labeled by the things and by the people of this world. In this letter, Paul actually has a little confession for him. He says, even though we, he's talking about himself and those with him, he says, even though I once did that, or I once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him as thus no longer. He's saying, listen, I once put a label on Jesus. If you remember his life, he was the guy that hated Jesus. He was the guy that thought Jesus was just a bad, false teacher. And so he put a label on Christ as a fake. He put a label on Christ and said that Christ was an imposter. He said, I labeled somebody like that now that I know the truth. I don't do that anymore. So this verse says, regard no one, don't think about anybody according to worldly desires, according to worldly labels, according to worldly thought. Instead, know this. And he goes on to verse 17 and says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A lot of people memorize that verse. A lot of people know that verse. A lot of people have highlighted that verse. Here's what it means. Okay, that therefore says this. All right, look back at verse 16. Don't label anybody according to the world. Because of that, remember, if anyone's in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, if anyone has walked down the aisle, given their heart and their life to Christ, if anybody has had a moment in time where they've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what's the Bible say about them? It says that they are a new creation. The old is gone, it's passed away, and the new has come. I love that verse. I love it. It's such an incredible picture of what happens in our life. Okay, we're not who we were. We're something different. All right? We're no longer our old self. We're something totally new in Christ Jesus. So to understand that verse, we've got to think about two things. The old has passed away. What's the old? The new has come. What in the world is the new? The old is our life pre-Christ. The old is our life as defined by the world. The old is our life in sin. The old is our life where anything else could have become our identity. The old is anything that captured our heart and that captured our mind before relationship with Christ. Listen to this. The old is your doubt. The old is your insecurity. The old is your failure. The old is your sin. The old is all that huge pile of negative thoughts that you might have about yourself or that someone else might have about you. That stuff's gone when you believe in Christ. That doesn't define you anymore. That's not who you are. You're made something totally new and different in Christ. And the new is what replaces all that junk. The new is what replaces all that old that Jesus has moved out of your life. And the new has to do with your relationship with Jesus. And we're going to define it as we get to the end of these verses right here. In verses 18 through 21, it basically says this. We're not going to read them just because we don't have enough time tonight. But verses 18 through 21 say, the old's gone, the new has come because of Jesus. Couldn't be done without Jesus. It happens because Jesus came down. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. And he made it possible for you to have that relationship with God. So 18 through 20 tells you how it happened, and that's through Jesus. That's what we need to know. And then he goes on to verse 21, and he says this. And in verse 21, that's where we find the new, okay? And listen to this. The new is who you are. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, when I describe the new right here, that's you. When Jesus looks at you, he sees that. He sees that in your life. And our hope and our prayer is for you guys, as you look at yourself as a believer, that you see what God sees. A lot of times we beat ourselves up. A lot of times we look down on ourselves. A lot of times that we get frustrated with ourselves, but that's because we don't see what God sees. As we look at this verse, guys, please, I want you to understand, and I want you to think, and I want you to begin to see yourself as God sees you. And the person sitting next to you, if they're a believer, and the person in your life group class, and that person that goes to our church that you know is a believer, but they sort of annoy you, I want you to see them like that, because this is how God sees them too. Look at verse 21. It says this. It says, for our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus. So I'll replace it. I'll say it so we can understand it. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He's saying that he took Jesus, who was perfect, who was sinless. He took Jesus, one with no sin in his life, and made him sin. Okay, he didn't make him commit a sin, but he took Jesus, and when he looked at Jesus, he saw sin. Okay, not his entire life. When Jesus was put on the cross, okay, when Jesus went to the cross, and when God looked at him, God, in that moment, saw sin. He didn't see Jesus' sin. He saw your sin, and he saw my sin, okay? This is a hard concept to get, so we're going to go through it really, really slow. When God saw Jesus on the cross, he saw our sin. He looked at Jesus and saw sin. No sins that Jesus committed, because Jesus was perfect. Nothing that he had done wrong. He saw everything that we had done wrong. And when Jesus was on the cross, when God saw that sin, guys, this is what happened. This is important. Jesus, in that moment, took the punishment, James, for your sin. In that moment, Jesus took the punishment for my sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just dying. He was dying for our sin. And when God looked at him in that moment, he saw our sin. He took our place, okay? He was our substitute on the cross. He was our substitute as God punished sin. Okay, that's important to understand the second half of this verse. You've got to know that when Jesus died, he died in your place and my place. He was the substitute for our sins, and he took the punishment that was meant for us. So the first half of that verse says he made Jesus that didn't know any sin. He made Jesus to be full of sin. He looked at Jesus, and he saw that sin, and he did it for a specific reason. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he values you. He did it because he's willing to give up everything that he ever had for you. And the verse ends like this. It says, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become the righteousness of God. And here's something that's really, really cool. The Bible, the language that it uses there when it's talking about you, it says, if you're a Christian, hey, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here's how you're defined. This is who you are. You are the righteousness of God. And it's really cool. It's really cool when you explore what the Bible has to say about this. Jeff, when Jesus looks at you, he does not see your sin. He does not see your failure. He doesn't see the times that you've messed up. He doesn't see that cheetah costume. He doesn't see any of that. When Jesus looks at you, or when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus if you've placed your faith and trust in him, okay? When he looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw our sin. When you place your faith and trust in him, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your insecurities, he doesn't see your doubts, he doesn't see your failures, he doesn't see the time that you've messed up. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your life. And that righteousness of Jesus is what allows us to have a relationship with God the Father. He doesn't see that other junk. He doesn't see the stuff that sometimes we see. He sees the righteousness of God. And when he sees that, that's what allows us to have that relationship with God the Father. it's an incredible thing to think about, okay? Because I know me, and I know my insecurities, and I know my sin, and I know how messed up I am, and I know the things that I've done. I know the things that have been a part of my life, okay? But the cool thing is, the Bible says that when I place my faith and trust in Christ, that God does not see that. It says that when I place my faith and trust in Christ, that I've become the righteousness of God. So now when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of Christ in my life. He sees the holiness of Christ. He sees the perfection of Christ. And that's what allows me to draw close in a relationship with God. And guys, the same thing is true for you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of God in your life. He doesn't see areas or times in your life where you've messed up. He doesn't see that sin. He sees the righteousness of God. And guys, our prayer and our hope for you guys tonight is when somebody asks you who you are, guys, you don't think about defining yourself the way that the world might define somebody. You don't think about beating yourself up. You don't think about defining yourself in a negative light. Guys, that you think as a believer and as a Christian, we want you to know, we want you to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you, with the righteousness of Christ over your life. Okay, let's pray. If you're a Christian, and then with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just ask God to help you to begin seeing yourself as he sees you. Ask him to help you begin seeing yourself as he sees you. Ask him to take away those doubts. Ask him to take away that guilt. Ask him to take away that shame. He doesn't intend or desire for you to live in that. He wants you to begin to see yourself as a new creation, with the old and all that junk gone, replaced with the righteousness of God over your life. Ask him to help you see yourself like that. And tonight, if you're sitting here and you're thinking and you know that there has never been a time in your life where you've become that new creation, you know there's never been a time in your life where you've asked God to remove your sin and come into a relationship with him, and tonight you're wanting to become that new creation, you want God to see the righteousness of Jesus in your life, you want to enter into a relationship with God, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take a step. I just want you to look up at me. If that's you tonight, and you know you need that, and you know you desire that, and you want that, just look this way. Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you guys to take another step. If that was you, and you looked up at me, and we made eye contact, all right, and there were a couple of you, when we break into our groups in just a minute, come right up here, all right? I'm just going to sit down, and we'll love the chance to talk with you, all right, a little bit about how to do that and how God wants to create in you something totally new, something totally different. God, we love you, and we're thankful.